Now, I'm very pleased to welcome our next speaker, Debbie Morgan Frail. Debbie was, until recently, the National Aboriginal Education Officer with the Australian Education Union, which is the Teachers Union, and she's a proud Wiradjuri woman from central New South Wales. Please make Debbie welcome.
Just to let people know, I may be a little bit shook because I wasn't basically attacked by the Zionists across the road, but thank you to the wonderful police officer that escorted me through, three grown men who attacked me and verbally abused me and put their phone in my face. Expect to see it on the internet. As a Wiradjuri woman from central New South Wales, I respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we gather on, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung peoples of the Kulin, and pay my respect to the elders past and present. I recognise that their sovereignty was and never will be ceded over this land we stand on today. Thank you to the organisers of today's rally on genocide and racism for asking me to share, as a First Nations person, my perspective on the interconnectedness of our struggles within systemic and structural colonial imperialism and the First Nations history of standing with the Jewish and Palestinian community in what is now known as Australia against dehumanisation and oppression. A disclaimer that, like all communities, one voice does not speak for the collective, just as not all of the Jewish communities speak for the collective, as not all Palestinians speak for Palestinians. I, as a First Nations woman, do not speak for all First Nations people. What I would hope we all stand for is the elimination of all forms of racism and discrimination in this country. It is a scourge that does and will continue to be a blemish on us all if we do not eradicate it. This includes the calling out of the use of it for political gain and leverage for ideology. I offer this as a disclaimer to remind those First Nations people who allow themselves to be the mouthpiece of Zionist ideology, our government and the mainstream media, whether that be those sitting in both houses of federal parliament, former athletes, business people or academics, that they also do not speak for the collective. They have a position, but I would also like to remind them that they have a responsibility that goes along with that position. That responsibility is to ensure the narrative they weave and disseminate is not the same narrative of dehumanisation, othering, or from a position of ignorance woven to oppress and marginalise First Nations people in this country for 230 plus years. When they reference the historic position of the great William Cooper's passionate struggle against the dispossession of Aboriginal people and the denial of their rights and lifelong fight for us to become citizens in our own country, then highlight that on 6 December 1938, less than a month after Kristallnacht, when Jewish Germans were targeted in widespread rioting and looting across Germany, he led a march to the German consulate in Melbourne to condemn the cruel persecution of the Jewish people by the Nazi government in Germany. They failed to mention in their woven narrative that he was not supporting Zionist ideology. He was activating against the dehumanisation and genocide of the Jewish people, one of very few who were in this country at that time. When a former Indigenous athlete goes on talkback radio with a shock jock, renowned for false narrative targeting Aboriginal people, and talks about these young ones who know nothing about the struggles we, which is questionable in her case, marched under over the years, use that flag at Palestinian protests, they have no idea what they are doing and disrespectful. I'm astonished that she has little understanding of the history between First Nations Australians and the Palestinian resistance, both here in this country and in Palestine itself. That history includes the many years of flying the Palestinian flag next to the original Aboriginal flag, found to be offensive, so we got a new one, above the embassy to reflect solidarity with the Palestinian people and their resistance against colonial regime. Whilst I'm not quite as old as the great man himself, Gary Foley, I grew up in an era of rights struggles, including the struggle for land rights in this country and resistance against the ongoing colonial oppression of my people. For me, in the twilight of my activism, this quote reflects many of our experiences as Aboriginal activists in our early days. He says, "I've been out here in support of our Palestinian brothers and sisters as I began to learn myself and understand about the nature of our Aboriginal people's oppression at the hands of the colonisers, at the hands of imperialism. I also began to see, once I learned from Palestinian brothers and sisters about what was happening to them, I realised the similarities, the parallels between our historical experience. You don't have to tell Aboriginal people what it's like to be subjected to genocide." After seeing that ex-athlete and another renowned Aboriginal person standing on the Israeli side of the wall, less than 4 kilometres from the massacring of Palestinian children, then returning to Australia denouncing the Palestinian struggle and supporting a Zionist position, sadly, I think in 2024-25, I think we do have to explain. They are pandering to the false Zionist narrative and the wails of anti-Semitism at every criticism of Israel and the Zionist regime, upholding the mainstream media and our government's constant focus on a constructed anti-Semitism that benefits two-party politics and their bipartisanship on Israel's position in the Middle East, whilst ignoring the daily structural and overt racism against First Nations people in this country. Real anti-Semitism against the Australian Jewish population and the constant racism and discrimination against the Palestinian people and the Arab population of this country more broadly. This position is not beneficial to this country. This is not beneficial to the authentic Jewish struggle. This dissemination of false narrative benefits no one other than those who hold extremist Zionist beliefs and the lining of corporate and political pockets at the expense of the thousands of dead Palestinian children, women and men. The criticism of the push forward by settler colonists into the Golan Heights, West Bank and Syria to establish the last phase of the Greater Israel colony as set out in the Balfour Declaration and the ongoing settler colonist expansion, as we meet here today, is causing many more murders and the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, Lebanese and Syrians, and is met yet again by our government and mainstream media with the false constructed narrative of anti-Semitism. Whilst ignoring the authentic anti-Semitism experienced in the Australian Jewish community, First Nations community and Palestinian community. Finally, we must come together in solidarity with the Palestinian people across the globe, not just in Gaza itself. We must resist the threat and capitalist takeover by the US and its corporate puppeteers who failed to recognise that Gaza once was the Riviera of the Middle East, as was Beirut and the broader Arab coastal areas, until the global powers inflicted years of regime change to allow their destruction of these beautiful and historic places where for thousands of years Arabs and Jews had lived in harmony and peace respectfully. In closing, I would like to offer this, taken from Isabella Hamad's book, Recognising the Stranger on Palestine and Narrative. There is a temptation to leap forward rhetorically, to reflect on the present. What will you have done? What that means is, there is still time. What that means is, time is running out. Every minute, according to World Health Organization, a child is killed. It will be easy to say in hindsight, what a terrible thing. That was a terrible moment when the movements of the world were out of my hands. Do not give in. Be like the Palestinians in Gaza. Look them in the face and say, that's me. Mahmoud Darwish tells us, Gaza does not propel people to cool contemplation. Rather, she propels them to erupt and collide with the truth. The Israeli government would like to destroy Palestine, but they are mistaken if they think this is really possible. Palestine is Haifa. Palestine is in Jerusalem. Palestine is in Gaza, and Palestine is in the Mediterranean Sea. And Palestine is alive in the refugee camps from Shatila to Yarmouk. Palestine is even alive and well in New York, or more locally, Melbourne and Sydney. Do they really believe they can obliterate the Palestinian will to life? Their 70-year attempt, sometimes protracted, sometimes fast, to eliminate the native seems at times like the strategy of fools, Of course they will harden Gaza each time they bomb her. Of course they will force her resistance fighters underground. Possibly they know this very well and even desire it, since it provides a pretext to keep bombing. But they can never complete the process because they can never kill us all. Viva la Palestinians!